You're listening to Uncommon Thinking, a podcast from Advertising Week. Uncommon Thinking features thought-provoking ideas directly from the stages of Advertising Week's global events. Hear from the brightest minds and thought leaders from every corner of the industry as they come together to help you navigate what's next. If you enjoy Uncommon Thinking, please consider subscribing on your podcast platform of choice, leaving a positive review, and sharing with friends and colleagues. Thanks for listening.
The future of advertising lies in positivity. Pinterest saw their first $1 billion quarter last year, and they believe their success is due to consumers having a positive outlook on their platform. In this episode of Uncommon Thinking, recorded at Advertising Week Europe 2025, we'll explore how positivity impacts the consumer behavior. We'll dive into why positivity is good for business and explore the research to back it. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the very first session of Advertising Week 2025. It's so lovely to have you all here, and what a brilliantly full room and a fantastic session to start with this morning. We are delighted to welcome Pinterest back to Advertising Week Europe. We're thrilled to be working with you, and thanks very much to Grace and Finley for everything you've done to make this morning happen. My own Pinterest board is almost entirely full of Moana 2 party at the moment because I have a four-year-old party, but it's incredibly useful. And we, if any of you are out in London today needing cherries, because apparently cherry coded is the theme that will come up very shortly, we can categorically tell you there are no cherries in London. We have looked everywhere. We had teams out at midnight in the fruit and veg markets looking for them. There are none. And that's thanks to you guys for making it trending. I'm very quickly going to hand over to Milka, who is going to kick off this session. But I really hope you enjoy it. Make the most of the next couple of days. We've got a brilliant agenda for you. And I'm absolutely delighted to hand over to Milka for the very first one. Thank you very much.
All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Milka Privodanova, and I'm the VP of Europe at Pinterest. I'm going to start with a little caveat. I gave up coffee about 6 weeks ago, and I just had my second coffee in 6 weeks. So it's kicked in, and my heart is pounding. But really why I'm here this morning is just to tell you what the session is going to be about. Last week, we released a research called Positivity Performs with Magna, part of IPG, which really talks about why positivity matters outside of just being nice to have, how it drives value for brands. And then Beth Horn, our UK MD, will be walking you through this research. And then she will have a fireside chat with Dan Finley, the CEO of Debenhams Group. And if you haven't been reading the newspapers, which I'll be surprised if you do, the story is incredible. And I cannot wait to hear this conversation. When we come together in these groups, in these forums, we talk so much about the challenges, the evolution. And I think it's safe to say that this year has been, like we've been saying for the last few years, like none other. You know, evolution is happening now in weeks versus in months. And when I talk to partners, to brands, you know, I hear a lot, well, we want to be engaging with Pinterest, but you're such a niche platform. You know, you're positive, but you're so niche. And it's really surprising to me to hear that because we have 500 million users coming to the platform every single month. But in a way, that is true. We are a niche platform. And why? Because people come to Pinterest to be inspired. They are coming to be away from the toxicity that finds them elsewhere. You know, they come to find the online oasis. And so I think it's time for us to introduce ourselves. You know, who is what is Pinterest? Pinterest has always been it's a new era for Pinterest. You know, Pinterest has always been a place where people come to shop. But over the last few years, what we have done is really making that shopping experience way more seamless. Some other platforms have solved for convenience, for speed, for price. But what we are solving for is joy, rediscovering the joy of shopping and really making sure that people, when people come on Pinterest, they not only get inspired, but we help them make these dreams a reality and bringing them into real life. This last quarter in Q4, we reached our first $1 billion quarter, and that was really based on the performance products we have launched over the last few years. Historically, and probably a lot of you might still think of Pinterest as more upper funnel or mid funnel platform. But actually, over the last few years, we have done so much to drive our users again from inspiration to making the decision to action. Most recently, we launched Performance Plus, which is our AI-backed suite of products that allow you to drive really results on your campaigns. We're seeing a 10% increase on ROAS when you adopt those products. But really what has always been true for Pinterest is that it's a positive platform. We're very intentional about keeping that positivity, the way we tune our AI, the way we build that environment. 3 out of 4 pinners say that they come there and they feel their time is better spent. You know, they really come there to feel good about themselves. And again, we're gonna come back to positivity. Why does it matter? Is it nice to have, or does it drive ROI? And hopefully today we'll convince you that it's the latter. And with that, I will hand over to Beth Horn, who will walk you through the research.
Can we look? Thank you, Milka. Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see you all. I'm apparently in my goddess area. Actually, this is cherry-coded, my outfit. I think I've got the black cherry option for us. So wonderful to have you all here. I'm really excited to be able to chat about the positivity research that we just launched last week with Magna. But to start, I'm going to start a little unconventionally. Come with me, won't you? So we're going to start. Raise your ears up to your shoulders. Everybody, I can see you whether you're doing it or not. Come on. All right, and drop them. All right, lean your head to one side. Give it a good stretch. Oh, there we go. Other way. All right, big deep breath. Sigh it out. Well done. Full marks to you all. So that feeling you've just experienced is what it physically feels like when someone is on Pinterest. But genuinely, this is what our users tell us. And many of you have told us so as well. And we really believe that there is value in building a positive platform for people because we believe it's good for business too. But up until recently, there really hadn't been a way to account for the way a person feels when they're using a platform. It's not exactly a performance KPI. We all know that the internet can be a scary place. Trolls, outrage, misinformation. And at the same time, there are so many brand safety tools that are available to you to make sure that you can combat negativity and misinformation. So what's the problem with simply turning on those brand safety tools and then running your advertising wherever you see the best performance? The challenge is that while your brand may be protected, your customer isn't. Typically, when we talk about brand safety, we really are thinking about your ad impression and what comes immediately before and immediately after it, right? Sort of what's hugging that content. But of course, we know from personal experience, all of us, that there's a lot of scrolling that happens both before and after that impression. So you might have brand safety tools turned on, and someone still might have a negative experience on that platform. Both things can be true. We can all agree there's a huge value to being present in brand safe environments, but historically there's been too little focus on the impact of how people are feeling when they are using those platforms. And that's made advertising in places that feel nice kind of a nice to have. But based on this new research that we've rolled out with the media intelligence firm Magna, we really look to prove that having a positive experience can have an impact on your bottom line. Nearly every marketer is under pressure to find the next competitive edge. This is it. It's positivity. And so we really do believe that positivity can drive better performance, and Magna's research demonstrates it. So let's talk more about the research and then how you can use that to really turbocharge your marketing budgets. We commissioned Magna to help us understand how ad environment attributes impact performance KPIs. They ran studies together with the help of advertisers across a whole variety of verticals. And it's important to call out, this was based on real-world brand data. So they used impression data, including viewability and brand safety metrics. They looked at behavioral data, like purchase decisions, and they ran MMM simulations. For that study, they then run test and control ads across a number of popular social media platforms. Along the way, they collected responses from more than 6,000 people who browsed, scrolled, clicked just as they normally would. And then they were asked, did they have a positive or a negative experience on that app? And that question is really, really important because it meant that they were able to study positivity itself, not just the performance of the ad platform. So in other words, Magna was working to find out, does it matter how somebody feels when they're using a platform? Does it matter if they have a negative experience while they're on an app? As it turns out, it really matters. The findings show that ads served in positively perceived environments provide three key benefits. They work harder, they drive action, and they boost sales. So let's take the first one first. Ads served in positive environments work harder. Magna's research showed that the exact same ad performed better on a platform that users perceived as positive. In fact, users responded that an ad seen on a positive platform is twice as interesting, twice as trustworthy, and 1.5 times more likable. This is the exact same creative. No changes, but the environment matters that much. So the same piece of creative simply works harder on a platform that's perceived as positive. Second finding, driving action. So not only did people's perception of a brand improve on positive platforms, they were also more ready to do something about it. So the study found that positively viewed platforms can be up to 94% more effective in driving purchase intent compared to platforms that are not viewed positively. So as marketers, we all know that purchase intent correlates to sales, but Magna wanted to take it a step further and show what this can really mean for a brand's bottom line by leveraging MMM. So here's the good stuff, boosting sales. Marketers have trusted MMM for decades, but they don't normally include positivity as a core measurement within that. Magna did. And from those simulations in MMM, they found that with the same creative and the same finite budget, brands can generate up to 24% more sales by incorporating positivity into their media buying strategies. That's 24% of incremental sales, by the way. So you take this all together, and the findings really are evidence that it matters how positively or negatively someone feels when they are using a platform. It is either helping or not helping your performance. But you might be wondering why this is happening. Well, Magna wondered that too. So they ran in-lab studies that were looking at eye tracking technology to see where people were looking on the screen, where are they spending their time, where's their attention going. They also used EEG sensors to measure brain activity. And so looking at that, you could really understand, were people processing the information they were seeing while they were scrolling? Did they feel overwhelmed, stressed? What was their actual response? Not just what did they tell you was their response, but what is backed up by the science? And so they were able to verify those feelings. And what that in-lab study did was provide some more clues as to why ads that are served in positive environments are stickier, more memorable, and more performant. People are 20% more emotionally engaged on platforms they perceive as being positive. The more leaned in, the more they're paying more attention. And because of that, they were actually spending on average 15% more time looking at content and ads. So the study found up to 50% higher viewability on platforms that people perceive as positive. So you can call it a halo effect, an amplifier, or a head start, but positivity can fundamentally drive performance. I really hope that today's research is a call for our industry to think about positivity and to think beyond brand safety, to question not only how much negative content might be hurting your brand, but how much positive content could be helping it. So here are some ways to get started. I want to start by just enabling the right things in your media buying strategy. So working with partners like Integral Ad Science and Double Verify, adding questions to your brand lift studies to understand the impact of positivity on your media and look at those responses in relation to your creative, your targeting, your audience data. And that way you can start to identify the impact of positivity on your performance. Another way of looking at this is to work with your MMM vendors to add questions about positivity into your study results. Look, we know this is not normally done and this doesn't happen overnight, but the data is really clear. The brands that embrace this are going to have a competitive advantage over those who don't. So don't be afraid to ask those discovery questions that are going to lead you to some really helpful insights. But beyond this, we really hope that you'll take this moment to prioritize advertising on platforms that prioritize positivity, like Pinterest. As Milka said, positivity has been built into Pinterest from the very beginning. This is core to who we are. It's core to what we build, how we build. It's core to our own accountability metrics and our social impact. This is really central to who we are as a platform. And for years, marketers have told us that they love Pinterest and they love that we're positive, as Milka said, but they're looking for performance too. Well, we've made more investments there than ever before. We are a more performant platform than ever before. And the momentum behind the shoppability of the platform is really, really clear. But perhaps the biggest superpower that we have is the one we've talked about most today, positivity. So as the research proves, positivity and performance really can go hand in hand. Positivity is more than a nice to have. It is an imperative. And this can really improve our performance. So we believe our industry deserves a better way forward than the way that we've been behaving in the past. So when it comes to your marketing budgets, we know there's a variety of options and a lot of places where you can spend your money and your time. But we hope that after today, you'll reconsider your media partnerships and consider positivity a non-negotiable. So that's the research. With that, I'm going to change to my cards. And really just first start by saying thank you to all of you for being here. We get to continue this conversation with our wonderful guest speaker, who I'm going to take a moment to introduce before we bring him up to the stage. So I am delighted to have Dan Finley with me today. Here's his bio, which is slightly impressive. Dan Finley is a dynamic, digital-focused leader with a proven track record in driving hypergrowth across the retail sector. Appointed Chief Executive Officer of Debenhams Group in October 2024, he brings extensive experience in digital transformation. Before stepping into the group CEO role, he led the turnaround of Debenhams as its Chief Executive Officer, transforming the iconic British heritage brand into the UK's leading online department store. Prior to that, he spent a decade at JD Sports as Group Multichannel Director, spearheading unprecedented digital growth. Under his leadership, JD became a global multi-channel powerhouse. With deep expertise in e-commerce, digital innovation, and brand elevation, Dan is passionate about shaping the future of retail in an increasingly digital-first world. And a couple weeks ago, Dan and his team made a major announcement about their new beginnings as Debenhams Group. As Dan put it, a new chapter for our business, momentum, growth, innovation. I won't spoil any more. I want you to hear it directly from him. So please join me in welcoming Dan Finley to the stage.
Thank you very much, Beth, and great to be here with you this morning.
Thank you. And I think we keep finding these videos we didn't know were coming. It's very exciting, but I'm going to go to the next slide. I'm going to try to go to the next slide. I'm going to try again to go to the next slide. It's just going to play and we're going to roll with it. It's all good. There we are. Ta-da. There's our faces. Fantastic. So before we hear more about the transformation and new beginning as Debenhams Group, I wanted to get your reaction to the research that I just shared. So thinking about the critical role of advertising environments and media planning, positivity moving from a nice to have to a must have. What was your response to the research? What resonates for you?
Look, it was great to see. I'm somebody who believes in the power of positivity, the power of positivity in life, the power of positivity in leadership, the power of positivity in business. And it's great to see that your performance marketing can be advantaged by advertising on a positive platform. And I was reading over the weekend that pretty much everybody in the UK has watched Adolescence, you know, on Netflix. And you see some of the, as a father to a teenage son, you see some of the challenges that, you know, the social media platforms present to people. And you want positivity in your life, you want positivity in your family, you want positivity in your business. And the more you can embrace a positive platform and get a commercial advantage from it, all the better.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I think Pinterest has always been known as this positive corner of the internet or this oasis, which again is very much by design. But we've not been able to define positivity specifically in the past of what's the actual numerical impact of that on performance. So knowing now that ads that are viewed on positive platforms is seen as twice as trustworthy, twice as interesting, 1.5 times more likable, how do you see that really impacting the decisions you make about where you advertise?
Look, everybody's chasing a, you know, better return on investment. Everybody's facing daily decisions about where do you invest your media pounds. And if you can advertise in a platform that you know your consumer is going to be positive in, you know that they've got that positive intent, you know that your brand's going to be safe in that environment, and more importantly, it's going to return better, why would you advertise elsewhere?
I couldn't agree more, shockingly enough. So as we I'd love to move to think a bit about the transformation journey that you're on at Debenhams Group. So changing and transforming a legacy retail brand like Debenhams, which has been around since, I think you were sharing, since before there was an American president, since before electricity. There was a third. There were ridiculous milestones. Before a car. So this is the definition of a legacy brand. And as someone who started my career in department stores, I started at Macy's.com in New York a quarter century plus ago. Seeing that legacy and that history come to life is really incredible. But transforming a legacy brand like that into a nimble, digitally native marketplace, that's a significant undertaking. So walk us through the evolution of your strategic vision, how you aligned all the organizational capabilities to set your teams up for success.
I think it starts with the brand. Debenhams is this iconic British heritage brand. It's 247 years old, and it's really hard to imagine 247 years ago. So as you say, it was 11 years before America's first president. And the pioneer and the creator of Debenhams was a gentleman called William Debenham. And 247 years ago, he was the first person in the world to put two brands together in a single retail store. He pioneered the department store concept, invented the British High Street, created what became known to be Oxford Street. So Debenhams has always been this very visionary, pioneering brand. It, through designers at Debenhams, was an early pioneer of influencer and celebrity-led marketing that became, you know, all the rage in 2015 and beyond. So we've really anchored our business in that history and that heritage and a story that hasn't been told. Because Debenhams, even today, has almost 100% brand recognition. And many of you will have a story to tell about time that you spent in Debenhams. It's where I bought my first shirt and tie for my first interview at Oxford University, or where my mum bought the dress that she wore at the christening of her first grandchild. So our whole strategy is anchored in the richness and the history and the trust associated with Debenhams. And we're really on a mission right now to get that message out to people. And our wider group has had some, you know, well-known and well-publicized challenges. And we've seen our turnaround of Debenhams that we rescued out of administration, and we pivoted into being a marketplace-led business, a blueprint for further success. We want to be a community, you know, very much like Pinterest is a community. We want to be a community for brands, partners, and consumers. And we want to put great product in front of our consumer and play a small part in making their lives better, connecting consumers with brands that they love. And it's an exciting journey. It's lots of change. We announced 2 weeks ago that the whole, what was Boohoo Group, has become Debenhams Group, and that we're going to be a marketplace-led business, and brands like Boohoo and Pretty Little Thing and Karen Millen are going to become fashion-led marketplaces. So it's really exciting times for us, lots of change, but we're super proud about rescuing Debenhams from administration, bringing it back with a bigger, better, bolder strategy, and now rebranding and going forward as a group, as Debenhams Group. So lots going on, change every day, lots more change to come, but exciting times, and great to be at the forefront of digital retail.
Absolutely. Well, I think if you don't follow Dan on LinkedIn, I highly recommend it. This is one of the most fulfilling follows I have, because you have ridiculous news that comes out every week of those major strides that you're making, whether it's transforming the group, whether it's Debenhams Pay, whether it's, you know, all of the logistical underpinnings for the work that you're doing. One of my favorite things that you've stated in an interview recently was that your aim is for Debenhams to be to retail what Spotify is to music. So tell me more of what you mean by that.
Yeah, so I'm sure many of you are Spotify users. And what I really admire about that business is that they've become a destination of choice for consumers. And fundamentally, that's underpinned firstly by choice. You know, with absolute certainty that whatever you want to listen to, whether it's Sabrina Carpenter or Elton John or Eminem, you know with certainty that you can go to Spotify and find whatever song it is that you want to listen to. But it does it in a curated and personalized way. It doesn't overwhelm you with recommendations and too much choice of things that you're not interested in. And that app has become a real destination. It's one of a handful of apps that people will typically have on their mobile phone today. And so I've seen lots of lessons in that for retail generally and in our strategy for Debenhams. We want to offer ultimate choice. We want to be the destination that you can go to buy all the brands that you love in fashion, home and beauty. But we want to do it in a curated and personalized way. So you're not overwhelmed by the million dresses that you can buy on Debenhams today, for example. And we want to romanticize shopping within that. We don't want it to be as clinical and transaction focused as some others are. We want to bring that romanticism, you know, back to shopping. So look, it's a bold vision. It's an ambitious vision, but one that we're focused on moving closer towards realizing every single day.
I think I love what you said about the romanticism of shopping, because I think there's, and Milka touched on this at the beginning as well, I think there's so much of what the work that's happened in the internet economy over the last 25 years has been to solve for the utility part, right? So how do I get it fastest? How do I get it cheapest? What's just the quickest distance between two points? But what we haven't really solved for is that joy and the joy of discovery. And like, I think back, I'm dating myself, but like thinking back to when I was in high school and would go to the mall with my friends to go shopping. I didn't walk into the mall saying to myself, all right, I want the Adidas Liberty London collab in a size 7 women's navy colorway. Like, I didn't walk in with that as the like mental search query in my head. It was just, I'm going shopping, I want to look at shoes. I'm going shopping like spring dresses. And so when I think about what user behavior is on Pinterest and what we see, it's 96% of our searches are unbranded, 70% are 3 words or less. It is that discovery moment. And so I think we're so tightly aligned on that, building for the joy of shopping and the joy of discovery and feeling seen by the brands that you shop and really recognize. Like, so knowing that you're going to know so much about my shopping habits and what I'm looking for really across fashion, beauty, home, all of it. And so how that becomes a personal relationship. There's such power in that. And we've not solved for that online yet, I don't think.
Yeah, look, I see a huge opportunity in that. As you say, things have become very transactional. Things have become very objective orientated and focused on efficiency and optimizing that utility. And look, there are some consumers for whom that's super important and we all need to cater for them. But I think it's such an important part of the consumer journey, the inspiration, the discovery, the romanticism, the joy of shopping, and that it's great to be able to partner with Pinterest in embracing that in the consumer journey. But equally, we need to make sure that our experience within our digital environments is catering for that as well, because so much time is spent scrolling these days. So much time is spent on the mobile. So much time is spent browsing and discovering content. We want to make sure that we're in the right place in that customer journey, in the right destination to help through that process of discovery, consumers to discover the great brands and products that we sell.
Terrific. So let's talk a bit more about the marketplace-led model. So that's a real pivot for the group. So how are you ensuring that the quality and the consistency of the customer experience is going to remain high across all the different brands, not just within Debenhams, but across the different platforms that you've got within Debenhams Group?
Yeah, so a key fundamental pillar of our strategy is offering ultimate choice to the consumer. So today we have circa 15,000 brands and partners that are available to shop. That's up from 10,000 in September. We announced it'll be 20,000 by the end of May. So we continue on that mission to offer more and more choice to our consumer. As we do that, we want to make sure that we partner with the best and most appealing brands in fashion, home and beauty. We want to make sure we have the right partnerships. We want those to be in real life partnerships between our teams and our partners. We want to bring people together to make sure that we're offering the best and most appropriate brands and products to our consumer that are relevant for them. And we want to do it in a way which is a win for the brand. We want to showcase their brands at the very best. Want it to be a win for the consumer. We want to serve them up products that they're going to order and be delighted by, not just the experience, but the joy that they get from utilizing, you know, the product that they purchase from us. And under our marketplace model or collaborative commerce approach, as I call it, we've got to delight the consumer and showcase our brands at the very best. And under the marketplace model, we only win if we do those two things. So our motivation is very much aligned with making sure that our brand partner is showcased at the very best. Our consumers are delighted. It's only by doing those two things do we win as a business.
Fabulous. So let's talk a bit about the mission for the group. So Debenhams Group mission that you've said is to connect our community with the brands they love. And that's really tightly aligned with our mission to give everyone the inspiration to build a life they love. So how do you see this shared purpose forming the foundation of a strong strategic partnership?
Look, I see it's just been such a fantastic opportunity for us. We like to do things fast. We want to partner quickly. I think there's a huge opportunity with Pinterest for us as a business, for you as advertisers, for us as consumers across the country to show up better, to showcase brands at the best, to be in that discovery phase of the consumer journey, and to target, advertise, promote, showcase the products in an appropriate way for a platform, you know, which breeds positivity and generates superior results. So we've are at the start of our journey with Pinterest. We like to do things very, very quickly. And we saw some great results through November and December, and we're scaling that platform up rapidly. It's where, you know, we're seeing the biggest increases in our advertising dollars going into, our best returns coming through from the platform. And we're excited about the partnership under Beth's leadership.
Thank you. Well, it is a delight to get to work with you. And Dan and I have known each other for years. I think it's safe to say we're having the most fun, both of us individually and collectively now, which is a really good spot to be in. I will warn the room, we've got two more questions for me, and then we've got some time for questions for the room. So I'm giving you the heads up to start thinking and get ready to be brave and raise your hand. We'll see who's going to be brave first. But so two more from me, one more on the marketplace model. So within the marketplace model, what role do media partners have within your to help drive that strategic evolution?
I think for media partners, we provide opportunities for people to advertise through our retail media solutions, through our platforms and our digital properties. And also we're looking to make sure that our consumer, one, knows that Debenhams is back and it's bigger, better and bolder than ever. Both a challenge and opportunity for us is that whilst everybody knows Debenhams, not everybody today knows that Debenhams is back digitally. So we want to make sure that we are showing up as prominently and as frequently as possible in those consumer journeys, digitally and physically, to make sure that consumers know that Debenhams is back and the amazing selection of brands and products that they can buy across fashion, home and beauty are available through Debenhams.com.
Terrific. All right. Last one from me, and then we'll go to the room. So looking ahead 5 years, which I love when we have look ahead moments. It's like, what do you see in the future? Retail changes so quickly. 5 years is actually a really long time horizon. How do you see the landscape of retail and digital changing in that time?
Look, that's a really interesting and challenging question. And, you know, I say in our organization that I'm interested in today, tomorrow and the day after. Don't talk to me about 3 months, 6 months or next year. I think it's really hard to predict the future, and it's really hard to know what changes are going to occur and how best to place and position yourself for that. So my approach to that, and I've always encouraged everybody else, is the best approach to future-proofing is to build a hyper-agile, hyper-flexible, hyper-fast organization that can change and that can change quickly. And that as new trends emerge, as new products emerge, as structural changes take place, you know, in retail and artificial intelligence, AI, probably the biggest change in retail that is going to have happened, you know, since the invention of electricity, is a huge, huge opportunity. And look, I don't spend my time thinking about what the world's going to be like in 5 years' time. I spend my time making sure that our organization can pivot, change, adapt, accelerate today, tomorrow, and the next day. So as great opportunities present themselves, we can be at the forefront of potentializing those.
Fabulous. Well, there is a greater bias for action that I see getting to work with you, and like how you set the pace for every day with your leadership team through to the entire organization, to all of the partners you work with. So it's a great charge and a charter for all of us. So thank you for inspiring all of us to move faster on that. I'm going to turn to the room. We've got time for a few questions for Dan before we wrap up. Yes, please. Oh, and I think a microphone is on its way to you.
Thanks so much, Beth and Dan. This was a really good session and really enjoyed the research. My question is, I run a personal brand strategy agency, And so curious on your thoughts on like how this positivity translates from corporate brands over to personal brands. And I know, Dan, you're active on LinkedIn and kind of building that brand. Would love to kind of hear both of your perspectives.
Look, I think I'm so passionate about the brand that I have the privilege to lead and steward. And I want that passion and positivity to spill through into everything that we do with all of our stakeholders, whether that's our colleagues or our customers or our partners or our shareholders. And I'm a big believer in that. If I believe so strongly in our proposition and our value proposition for all of our stakeholders, then I want people to hear it directly from me, because I believe that I need to be the biggest advocate and I am the most enthusiastic person, you know, about our brand. So I really want to stand front and center in that and allow people to hear directly from me the passion and vision that I have for the business, the changes that we're making, the progress that we're making. And of course, you know, there's always bumps in the road when you do that too. So I feel like the authenticity, the passion, how sincere and genuine that is a superpower for us and is a superpower for the organization. And the more people in selflessly our organization that are as passionate and driven and have the bias for action that I have, the more progress that we'll make and the quicker that we'll make that progress. And then outside of our organization, the more advocates and acolytes that we have for our brand, the further we'll go and the quicker we'll go. So I see, you know, LinkedIn as a really important tool that I use to communicate directly to a whole assortment and wide variety of stakeholders. My vision for our business and my updates on how our businesses are progressing. And I want people to see the richness of that passion and the genuine belief that we have and the mission that we're on and the progress that we're making towards realizing that. So look, I'm a big advocate of that personal branding and owning the narrative and being front and center in communicating with your stakeholders about the progress that you're making.
I think the one thing I'd add, I completely agree. I think the one thing I'd add to that is, you know, it needs to matter to you, right? Like, I think it is pretty impossible to fake genuine care and genuine curiosity. And you know it when you see it, right? And I think when you look at the positivity research, like there's a reason that I mentioned, like this has been built into what Pinterest is, who we are from the beginning. And I think if you talk to any number of the Pinterest employees who are here today, I think that the pride in that is really core to so many of us. And it matters enormously to me. I'm not someone who's just going to rock up and go anywhere within my career. It really matters that the values of the organization I work for match mine. And it also really matters to me that we fundamentally help Debenhams Group define the digital high street and change what that perception is of, you know, from what Debenhams has been to what it's becoming. And that's an unbelievable privilege. And I think it to my mind, it really comes down to care and authenticity. Because that's, I mean, my goodness, this is where we spend most of our waking hours. This should be an enjoyable and additive thing for all of us. But opinion of one, as I hit my microphone, apologies to our sound friends in the back. Sorry, guys. Other questions in the room? Someone else can be brave. Heather.
Thanks, Dan. That was really great. I'm Heather. I lead fashion at Pinterest and I'm working with you. But I was curious, we're obviously at Ad Week and a bunch of us are sitting on all different kinds of sides of the table, whether at a platform, a brand, an agency. And I think everyone would find your ability to build hyper agile and hyper fast organizations admirable. So can you share your tenets for how you actually do that?
Great question. So my starting point is that anything and everything is possible. And we start with that positivity. And that's a starting point for everything that we seek to do. Nothing's too hard. Nothing's too difficult. Nothing can't be done. In fact, the biggest call to action we can have in our organization is if somebody tells us something can't be done, because I will personally show them how to do that and get that job done. And I will take enormous pride in doing that. And that becomes important to me. I think it's about setting expectations and being demanding in those expectations about how long things can take. And things will take however long you allow them to take. And if you have a house renovation project and say, I'm going to take 3 years to do it, it'll probably take you 4 years. if you say that you're going to decorate, you know, the front room by Christmas, it will take you until Christmas to decorate the front room. And in the same way, if you say that we are going to do a bunch of things in the second half of this year, you'll do a bunch of things in the second half of this year and the first half of next year. But I like to turn it on its head, and I like to say, with whatever we're trying to do, I want to do it today, tomorrow, or the next day. Don't talk to me about next week, next month, next year. And I'm training our organization to think about how we can make quantum progress today, tomorrow, and the next day. And I won't allow people to talk to me about next week, next month, or next year. We will sit in the room, we will iterate, we will come back until we can make giant strides towards an ambitious goal today, tomorrow, and the next day. And just changing that expectation, just changing that time frame, and being genuine in your conviction that it can be done quickly, and taking some proof points and showing people that it can be done quickly, I think is, you know, very, very powerful. And the proof point that I use is, you know, an e-com re-platform. People will tell you even today that it'll take you 18 months to 3 years to do it. We did one in 11 days. And we did the next one in 3 days, and we did the one after that in 1 day. And everybody told me it couldn't be done. People told me it was impossible. People said I was insane. And we as an organization like to do things differently. We believe that anything is possible. We set ourselves ambitious goals, and we get after them and we deliver them quickly. We are a work in progress. We are on the journey. There are literally a million things that we can do better as an organization. So I by no means profess to be perfect. We are a work in progress. We've got huge ambition and an exciting future, and every day we're working really, really hard to get those million things that we can do better done today, tomorrow, and the next day. And then we'll find another million things.
He's not messing around about that pace either. That's 11 days to 3 days to 1 day for replatforms. That's, my eyes are wide and deeply impressed as always. Other questions in the room?
Hello, Dan. Thank you very much for giving us your time this morning. And I come from the commercial production sector of the industry, and I'm particularly interested in what your in-house agency model is for Debenhams Group, and particularly being able to move so nimbly and in such an agile way, and potentially the importance of working with suppliers that are also able to move as quickly. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how you're working like that.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting one. And if I think about our Christmas TV campaign, our Christmas advertising campaigns that we did last year and launched at the end of October. So I'm told that most people start their planning for Christmas in January and February. We started ours on the 1st of October. Because I don't want to do things too far out. I like doing things close to market. I like to understand, you know, what's going on in the world, where the demand is, where the opportunity is. And we produced a, you know, national campaign starring Elizabeth Hurley within 30 days. And we launched it, and it was incredibly successful for us. And so I guess our approach to that is we don't like to commit too early. We like to keep all of our options open. We want to partner with people who say, oh, wow, this is super exciting. Let's do something that we haven't done before. I went out to 5 agencies. 4 agencies told me that it was insane and can't be done. And 1 agency jumped on board with us and helped us to deliver that. And that was amazing. And there's a sort of pace and an energy and productivity that comes when you set yourself challenging deadlines and you bring the positivity and that attitude that, you know, yes, we can. So we don't like to pontificate. We're not planning 9 months out. We like to do things close to market. We like to do things quickly. And we want to partner with people who jump at it and say, yes, we can. We have a bias of doing things ourselves. We only use a handful of select agencies, but those that we do share that passion, share the passion for our business, and share that passion for pace and wanting to, you know, disrupt in a highly competitive industry.
I think there was a question from a gentleman just behind you. Yeah.
Good morning. Thanks very much. It's David from the IPA. I was just wondering to what extent you consider yourselves competitors now and how you think that might change if I can take Dan beyond the next day.
That's the day after the next day.
competitors with Pinterest, for example.
Yes.
Look, I view Pinterest as a partner, and I see it being a significant opportunity for us to showcase great products and great brands to consumers. And I believe that by being a good actor in that community, by playing an important role in connecting our consumers with brands and products that they love through a broader ecosystem that exists beyond the platforms that we can control and will always exist beyond the platforms that we control. I believe in partnership and working together, and that by doing that, you know, consumers will benefit, our brands and partners will benefit, and we and both Pinterest will benefit too. So I'm running towards partners like Pinterest, embracing partners like Pinterest, building a strong collaborative partnership that works first and foremost for the consumer, but then for our organizations too. And I see them as a partner and not a competitor.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think, you know, we are very clear. We do not want to be a retailer. We want to be a retailer's best partner. And so how do we best get the incredible mindset that we have with people who come onto the platform to help them discover brands and products that are important to them? And I think that customer mindset that you get on Pinterest is really unique to what you see anywhere else online. I've worked in search, I've worked in social. This is different because people are showing up intending to be inspired. They're showing up intending to make a plan, intending to take action. And because of that mindset, because they're showing up to shop, which they overwhelmingly tell us they are, the organic content and the ad content are equally important. And there's real value behind that. So I think when you take that discovery-focused mindset, where it's not about doom scrolling or, you know, sort of lean back, let me see what meme of the week catches my attention. It's not interruptive advertising while you are doing something else. You are intentionally showing up to get inspired, make a plan, and take action. You can't really find that anywhere else. And so I want to make sure that for the retail partners that we work with and support and serve, that we are bringing that mindset to them so that they can help educate people about all of the incredible brands that folks can discover on Debenhams, on Pretty Little Thing, on Boohoo, on Karen Millen, across the group. So really, it's our job to help all of their everything work harder. And that's a great privilege to be in. Noreen, got one over here. Microphone coming your way.
I just put my hand up, so I thought it was time for this side of the room to have a chat. Thanks, Dan. That was really interesting and inspiring. I lead the CPG business at Pinterest, so work with some of the world's like most iconic brands. You know, brands that are over 100 years old. I'm really curious to understand, in terms of the Debenhams brand, and you know, you're the current custodian of our brand, how are you thinking about what Debenhams brand was and where you want to take it to the future? And which brand assets you want to maintain and which ones you want to leave behind? Because that's a real challenge for, you know, some of the most iconic brands in the world.
Yeah, look, great, great question. And it's a privilege to be, you know, a custodian of the brand that, you know, is 247 years old. I think what's been great about Debenhams and what's at the epicenter of how we go forward with the brand is that it's always been an accessible department store for all. Whether you wanted to buy something small on a tight budget of £10 or wanted to buy something more extravagant for £200, Debenhams was always a part of the community where you could go as a consumer and feel comfortable and enjoy shopping and feel that joy in that discovery of shopping. And look, that's really important to us as we go forward digitally rather than physically. We want that romanticism of shopping to be part of it, want the community to be at the heart of it, and want everybody to feel that Debenhams is accessible and that it has something for them. And that's super important to us. But also we want it to continue to pioneer. It pioneered the department store concept. It pioneered influencer marketing. It pioneered the British High Street. We want it to be at the forefront of, you know, the evolution of retail. And look, it had a difficult period of time that led to its administration, and you know, we rescued it from administration. But I look fondly on how Debenhams have pioneered and reinvented itself over the years. This is this next chapter, its next reinvention, the new beginnings of that new era, as it's that, you know, digitally led, marketplace led, online department store. So that's super exciting. And I think what's been great about Debenhams is it pioneered influencer marketing and collaborations with designers, was designers at Debenhams. It's the thing that people tell me they love the most about Debenhams. I get dozens of emails every day about when is designers at Debenhams coming back. So we're super excited to bring that back to the British consumer in the second half of this year as we really launch that with our consumer for Christmas. So Debenhams is about the community, is about the romanticism and joy of shopping. Debenhams is for everyone. And designers at Debenhams is a big part of what we're going to do going forwards.
I love that. Thank you.
I know. I'm very excited for that. That's news for me. So I'm marking my calendar. I was like, when I moved to the UK 7 years ago, and the first week I was here, I was going, there was a client event that I was going to. We were going to Royal Ascot. And so I went to Debenhams and I bought a hat. And for an American, this was a very big deal. It was an iconic moment for me. It was a fabulous pink, big, you know, chip and dip hat. It was fabulous, but it was very helpful because it was horribly hot. It was 32 degrees that day and it became a really useful sun hat. So it was not only stylish, it was utility. We got both. Probably time for one more question and then I'll close this out. Yes.
Hi, Beth. Dan, amazing sessions and that. I must say the Bob presentation is very interesting. So I love that. My question is, I think probably for you, Dan, like, do you think the retailers have the power to influence other platforms, like apart from like Pinterest, other social media platforms, to embrace positivity more than they currently do? So if yes, like how would retailers kind of change that or wish them to become like a more friendly or like a more positive environment for users?
Yeah, look, I think it's the responsibility of consumers and businesses to influence the partners and the platforms to ensure that they exist for those consumers and for those advertisers and are purposeful in what they're doing and embrace the social responsibilities that they have and recognize the importance of positivity. So look, I think it's our collective responsibility, not just as retailers or advertisers, but as, you know, consumers and customers of those products, to ensure that we see the changes that we want to see, you know, in those organizations and in those products. And look, everybody, you know, is making a lot of progress in that. But, you know, I come back to it because I watched it this weekend. You don't have a teenage son, you know, adolescence is a reminder, you know, of the challenges that we face as a society today across a whole spectrum of different things. But look, great to see the research about the positivity that Pinterest brings and the influence that that has on advertising. And look, the more positivity that we can have and the more positive purpose that we can see, you know, across our broader society, you know, all the better, in my view.
Wholeheartedly agree. Well, like, thank you to Dan. I'm going to, a couple thoughts to close us out. What a way to kick off Ad Week. I think we've covered a lot of really interesting ground this morning. So really grateful to everyone in this room for your time, for your thoughtfulness, for your questions. So what should you do next? Well, I am slightly biased, but I really believe that we need to prioritize positivity in how we are thinking about where we are placing our media dollars. Pinterest is ranked as the number one social media platform for instilling feelings of self-worth and purpose. And this is measured by a global well-being metric. So please share the results of this study with your team. Think about the ways that you can use positive ad environments to enhance the performance and get the results that you are looking for and the competitive advantage that we know can be yours. Huge thank you to Dan for candidly sharing his journey and what's going on at Debenhams Group. I think you've probably got quite a few new LinkedIn followers if they're not already following you, because I'm telling you, there's news every week. Cannot wait for what is next. And I'm deeply, deeply grateful for your partnership personally and professionally between our groups. Thank you as well to Katie, she may have left the room, but Katie, who kicked us off, and to Milka as well for opening the session so brilliantly for us. And a huge thanks to all of you in the room for spending your time with us. If you have any questions or want to dive a little bit deeper, there's quite a lot of pinployees in the room. I'm going to put you all on the spot. Hands up. There's my team. Fabulous. So there's a bunch of pinployees around the room. Please find us for any questions or conversations. I'm really excited about what we're going to be able to all work on together. With that, have a fabulous morning. Enjoy Advertising Week Europe. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Uncommon Thinking. For more podcasts like this one, including AW360, Advertising Week's longest-running podcast series, now in its 11th year, head over to www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts or search Advertising Week on your podcast platform of choice. Thanks for listening.